This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Free speech lives here. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, it's good news in real estate. If you're a homeowner, if you're selling a home, or perhaps purchasing a home or vacation property, welcome to our home. It's good news in real estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
Your host for the next radio hour, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris, along with real estate veteran and owner-operator of the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes,
Mark Cumberland. Your real estate education starts right now. It's good news in real estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
Good morning. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris. How are you, Deanne?
I am fabulous, Mark. How are you?
I am unbelievably good. So we're here every Sunday, 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 1210 to keep you informed. If you want to ask us a question on residential, commercial, mortgages, give us a call. My number is 267-266-5501. What's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
And you can listen to this show and all the past shows on our webpage, goodnewsandrealestate.com, and also at WPHT's webpage. So what are we talking about today?
Coming up on today's show, Mark, we have the market report.
Yes.
We also have our business tips with Asking Dr. A.
Yeah, I saw he has a good one.
We got Mark's funny story.
Hopefully a good one. It's a true one.
Oh, geez. We also have our mortgage mom topic.
Which is?
Common credit score myths.
That's a really great topic.
Comes from a good source.
Really?
So, Mark, we have our questions. First question is, I'm a first-time home buyer of a condo with a peekaboo ocean view, which is how Pete got me to get our condo. Love it. Appraisal came in $10,000 under asking price. Do I fork out the extra cash? What do I do?
Pete's got plenty of cash. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were answering it. The next question is, I have excellent credit, but I was denied when I tried to pre-qualify for a mortgage loan due to my debt-to-income ratio. Should I try again? Next question is, if a buyer gives a seller a copy of their home inspection, is the seller able to disclose the report to the other later buyers if the original sale falls through?
Yes, that's a good one.
It is a good one. And Mark, we also have our topic of the day.
What?
I wonder where this one came from, but it's 8 reasons why realtors will be needed forever.
Forever.
Ever, ever. But first, give us your motivational quote.
And the motivational quote is, if plan A doesn't work, the alphabet has 25 more letters. And 204 if you're in Japan. So that's a lot of plans. So something's going to work out for you.
That's awesome. That's good.
All right. So where are we at?
Mark, we are up to the market report.
And there is the bell. So before I jump into the market, I just want to send another kindly reminder to our Governor Wolf that 25% and 50% is not going to cut it. I got too many friends. Business is going under. Open us up. And also, I looked at the inventory today. We're up a little bit. 4160. So 4,160 homes are for sale. That's up about a month ago. Remember, we were down to like 3,100? So we're up 1,000 houses in a month. But anyway, the market is all good news. The National Association of Home Builders and Wells Fargo Housing Market Index rose 5 points to a number. They use this thin range from 1 to 100. It's up to 83 in September. That's the highest score series has seen since its inception 35 years ago.
Wow, that's impressive.
Now you got to think about that.
That's
the
impressive.
The highest number in 35 years.
Yeah.
Based on a scale of 1 to 100, builders gauged their perception of the current single-family sales and sales expectations for the upcoming 6 months. For months from now, Housing Wire has reported evidence that there's an urban exodus underway, a little bit due to the crime and some of the other stuff, and the builders are trying to take advantage of it throughout the country, and some of the customers are trying to get out of the high-density markets, and that's why they're relocating. There's also a shift toward the suburbia, coupled with the low interest rates, keeping the builders busy, so busy, in fact, that residential construction rose by 27,700 in August alone, up to 2.9 million, according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. While that was employment, up 27,000 jobs. While construction employment is booming, in a release from September 4th, noted the lumber industry has gained only roughly half of the jobs. This has something to do with the tariffs and the adjustment there. And anyway,
get lumber.
Yeah, well, and it's a little more expensive right now. So this pandemic is driving more interest. Another interesting fact's happening, which I'm actually really happy about. The pandemic is driving more interest in real estate careers. It's now a good time to be a real estate agent. The shutdown gave these people enough time to get through their pre-licensing courses and take the courses and let them enter into the real estate world. And they're all feeling very excited and determined about it. And interesting, you know, the average age of a realtor in the United States is a 58-year-old woman. So a lot of them are getting older, you know. They've had license like way back when you got yours, you know. And layoffs force retirement and second or third career choices. And that seems to be a big reason people are getting their licenses. And they're also, in part to the pandemic, the housing market is still really strong and driving the economy that the media never talks about. So a lot of people are buying into becoming a real estate agent. And so that's all good news. Home shoppers may have, and now in the market, back to the market part a lot here, home shoppers are going to have a little tough time finding homes to purchase in the weeks to month to come because prices are continuing to climb and even fewer new listings are arriving on the market. Look how long it took us to go from 3,000 to 4,000 homes for sale in Philly.
Well, and also it's, you know, people are getting really frustrated because there's, you know, 6-7 final and best. And, you know, it's just they're getting so frustrated with putting offers in and getting rejected with multiple bids. So,
well, you got to have a good agent and make sure you win those battles.
Well, you got to have a good mortgage person that calls them and says what I call.
A team like us.
Forget about it.
The Katsaris and Cumberland team, man. We'll make sure you win. Home price growth has reached a 2-year high. While the natural disasters brought the number of homes for sale even lower, today's home buyer faces daunting challenges. Home price growth has set a new high of 11% with no indication of a slowdown, and nearly 40% fewer homes are on the market than this time last year. 40%.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Inventory is so low that any disruption, such as like the wildfires, a hurricane, or whatever, that's going to even make things worse. Buyers are hoping to take advantage of the less competition during the off season. Like we're coming up, they would consider the off season. There is no off season.
There is
no
off season.
So you're going to be fighting for your house right through Christmas. You're going to be showing houses on Christmas Eve early before they open the presents. The number of new listings for the week ending September 12th fell 17%. Compared to a year ago. Meanwhile, the total number of homes available has plunged 39% compared to this time last year. So, bottom line is, real estate's booming. We need more listings. If the damn agents wouldn't be so scared of making a phone call, we'd have to have some listings on the market, and the sellers would know that it's probably the best time ever to sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And blame a lot of it on you, people like you. oh, yeah, I want to sell my house. And then, no, I don't want to sell my house.
You know what I have to say to that?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, well. Every day. Every day. It's Sunday. It's beautiful. And guess where I'm going after the show? Poolside.
Poolside.
Anyway.
All right. Tell us about the rates.
Rates. 30-year fixed rate, 2.625%. Based on credit score. So conventional is ranging 2.625 to 2.75. Your 30-year FHA, 2.75%. 20-year, 2.625. 15-year, 2.375.
What's the FHA?
The FHA is 2.75.
Wow. Well, your assistant's doing a good job, probably without you even knowing it. I sent him in my mortgage docs, and he's going to save me like $300 a month. Did you know?
It's amazing.
Did you know he did it?
I kind of did.
I thought maybe he was just taking the initiative. I sent him back some music.
Did you?
Yeah. All right, so there's some great rates. Take advantage of it, people. Yeah, so with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on 1210 WPHT. All positive, all the time. We'll be right back.
On behalf of the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, we hope you're enjoying Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland. The Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more after the break and this message from Debt Free Living. Learn more at WeHateDebt.com.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive, all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to my favorite segment, which is Mark's Funny Story.
I got one for you. And this is the true story. And this was back in the 80s when you got like your license.
You mean on a chalkboard with, you know, chalk and
well,
I had
anyway,
to put an X?
Yeah. Well, no, I was just breaking them for you that it was that long ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, these two agents, they worked together. These two women knew one another. And in the late 80s, they worked with this young couple that were looking for the perfect home. And they showed them many properties before they found one they both liked. They called the selling agent to set up a meeting to present the offer. So the selling agent was going to present the offer to the buyers, which was quite a bit below asking price. She arrived early at the seller's home, knocked on the door, heard a gruff right out of the gate, come on in, from the husband. There they sat, the agent, very grim-looking husband and the wife, smiled, introduced herself. Room was full of tension. The husband sat there with his arm crossed, glaring across the table at the agent. They had attempted to humanize the buyers to the sellers, but it didn't seem to do any good. As they handed everybody a copy of the agreement, the seller looked at it for a second. The husband stood up, walked over to a counter, grabbed a really big ashtray, crumpled it up, set it on the table, and lit it on fire.
Oh my God.
And threw it in the ashtray. As the offer burned, they're all sitting there watching it. Nobody said a word. After a few nervous moments go past, she looked at the husband. She said, should I take that as a no? And then started laughing out of pure nervousness. The husband burst out laughing too, causing everybody else to start laughing. When everybody finally quieted down, she said that, you know, she asked the husband for permission to offer to give him the offer again. And that there was a lot more to it than just the price. And they went over everything in detail and managed to get the sellers to agree to a reasonable counteroffer, and the buyers accepted. When they gave the signed counteroffer to the listing agent, she said that the seller had refused three other offers and has been very difficult to work with. And the agent said, oh, really? I had noticed. And every time they get together, they always laugh at one another and talk about that story. But that was a good one.
That was a good one. If you have a funny story you'd like to hear on our show, send it to 8029@comcast.net. Or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
And now it is time. Exciting part of the show. With the Mortgage Mom segment with the Ann Katsaris from Greentree Mortgage. And her topic is Common Credit Score Miss.
It's closer. It was closer. Left out a couple words, but it's okay. Not bad, Mark.
All right.
So basically,
I get
no
credit, I swear.
That was pretty good.
I thought I nailed that.
Yeah. So dealing with credit in the mortgage world is really complicated because you can have situations, which I have right now. I have a woman, I need to get her to a 640, and we're just stuck at a 632. No matter what I do, simulize, add credit, take credit off, pay things off, I can't get the score to move. So there are many myths, and multiple studies have found that 7 out of 10 Americans have at least one credit card. Yet, despite how common they are, there's still many myths surrounding credit. So a new credit card insider survey, they surveyed 1,051 adults, and what was revealed were several widespread credit-related misconceptions. And below, we've listed and gone over a few of these myths so we can figure out what they are together. You ready?
Yeah, this is, you're going to be talking about the FICO here, right?
We're going to be talking about what affects the FICO, yes.
All right.
So myth number one, your income impacts your credit score.
Right.
So this myth, do you think is true, Mark, or false?
True.
Oh, it's false.
False.
Okay. All right. Well, I already gave you the answer. Your credit score is based on your credit reports, but your income is never included on the credit report. So where does the misconception come from? So income does matter for credit card and loan applications, but it's not actually tied to your credit score.
Right.
So both your income and your credit score are used separately to determine whether or not your credit, you will be allowed to get credit and the loan officer is confident that you'll make your monthly payments. But one does not impact the other.
All right.
Myth number two. Using your debit card or selecting credit at checkout builds your credit history. True or false?
I would think false. No. Well, using your credit card instead of debit?
No. Selecting credit at checkout. So using your debit card or selecting credit at checkout. So you're using your debit card and you have a choice.
But I have a credit debit. You know what? I'm not sure about that one.
Okay. Well, selecting credit does not impact your score or your credit history, which makes this myth false. The reason that you choose credit or debit at checkout is so that merchant can determine how to process the payment and what fees they might pay. Ultimately, you are still using your debit card to make the purchase, and using the debit is essential, just like using cash, so it does not reflect your credit report.
And now it costs me with my bank if I do too many debits rather than credit. There's a fee after you, I forget
really?
How many it is.
Yeah, that's your own money.
I know, but there's a fee if you do
like
do
a
it
processing
like 50,
fee.
50 times or something.
Really?
You always do credit because it's simpler now. You hit the yellow button and voila, you know.
All right, myth number three. Closing a credit card is good for your credit score. True or false?
True. Bad for your credit score.
All right. True.
What did I say?
Did like a jumbo shrimp is what you just did.
Yeah. Okay. If you close a card, it's bad. I know
Thank you. The myth is false. You didn't know I was going to be quizzing you, did you? Closing a credit card can actually hurt your credit score, not help it.
Big time hurt it.
Two factors that impact your credit score are the average age of your accounts and the ratio of your amounts owed to the total available credit, also known as the credit utilization ratio. The lower your ratio, the better your score.
Right. I got that.
All right. Number four. Having multiple cards is bad for your credit.
Yes.
And no. This is not necessarily true because, as previously mentioned, the lower your credit utilization ratio is on each card, and that means all the cards across the board, the better. So having multiple cards can increase your overall credit limit and spread your balances across multiple cards.
Yeah, but I thought if you had like 20 cards, remember how women used to open their wallet and then with that long plastic thing and 25 cards would come out? That's all considered possible debt. You could go to Parks one day and go crazy That's risk, isn't it?
I was always told
only to have one or two cards.
It depends on what the utilization is. So you can have, you know, a whole bunch of cards that have $500 balances, but I mean limits. But if you only have $25 on it, you're okay.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if I have 10 cards with 5,000 or 10,000 on them, even though I'm not using them, I could one day go crazy at parks and like ring them all up.
And you know what that would do to your credit score? Tank it.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So having multiple cards can increase your overall credit limit, and it spreads the balances across multiple cards, which can help your credit. Right. By using different cards with different reward programs, you can also maximize how much you earn day to day. But just keep in mind that you should only apply for or open the credit as needed, and do not open as you are applying for a loan. So what does help build your credit score? Paying your credit card and your loan bills on time is the single biggest factor that affects your credit score. A late payment of 30 days or more can drop your score by as much as 100 points.
Yep.
Paying off any outstanding debt you may have can also build your credit. Keeping your credit card balances low and paying them off each month can help. So keeping them below 30%. And it's important to understand what does and does not affect your credit.
Right.
As your credit score can be used for a number of reasons. So any questions on the credit, feel free to reach out to me, 609-605-7153. And
real fast, what does FICO stand for?
Fair Isaac Company Organization.
Is that what it is?
So coming up next will be our question and answer segment.
All right. So with that, you're listening to Good News. That was a good segment, going credit, because a lot of people don't understand credit. So with that, you're listening to Good News from Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive, all the time. We will be right back.
Deanne and Mark are halfway through this week's edition of Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. When the show returns, more real estate news from around the Delaware Valley.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive, all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our question and answer segment.
All right.
First question is, first-time buyer of a condo with a peekaboo ocean view. So I'm assuming that the peekaboo is a very small view, like you have to stick your head out, turn the corner, and you'll be able to see it. Yeah, but I love it.
Peekaboo. Right. Like you're barely seeing the ocean.
You're barely seeing it. Appraisal came in $10,000 under asking price. Do I fork out the extra $5,000 or $10,000? Please help.
Well, you know, this is where splitting the baby can come into play. You know, we haven't split the baby for a while. I mean, they appraised it. The seller had it listed for a certain price, and it didn't appraise. So now there's only two options. The seller lowers the price, or you come up with the extra money. What I would do is I go back to this seller agent, and I tell him to talk to the seller. I say, yo, you got an appraisal now. And that appraisal is going to be out there. So the next buyer that comes along, that appraiser is going to be out there. Another appraiser is going to see that. So they could have a problem down the road getting that extra 10 grand. So maybe we split the baby. You come down 5,000, I'll come up 5,000, or you just come down 10,000 because technically that's what it's worth. And then you see what happens and you negotiate it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's normally, I mean, agreed. Normally, you can work it out where you can meet halfway in the middle. And like you said, Mark, split the baby.
Split the baby and make it work.
I was just, I took my mom down the shore the other day, and a friend of hers was selling a house in the similar situation. They were going back and forth, and, you know, they were really upset over the sellers wanting them to come down in price. And, you know, the one woman was like, I am not budging. And when we sat down and actually did the numbers, I said, just split the baby. It's not going to make that much of a difference. And now, you know, the house is down the shore. You're going to run into a situation where people aren't down the shore anymore. So take it while you can and move on.
Yeah. And how much was the difference?
$10,000.
Yeah, that's the usual number. Yeah. We're going to all fight over 10 grand.
Yeah.
You know?
And by the time you pay the taxes and the mortgage payment, that's or, right. you know, even if there's no mortgage payment.
And then New Jersey, they're going to whack you with that exit tax. Murph's going to grab you every nickel he can get.
All right, question number two. I have excellent credit, but was denied when I tried to pre-qualify for a mortgage loan due to my debt-to-income ratio. Should I try again? Now, this is kind of a touchy question because we don't know if it was the front ratio or if it was the back ratio. Right. And the front ratio is when we're taking their gross income and dividing it into the mortgage payment. Right, so if that ratio is too high, they have to find a house that costs less. If it's the back ratio, that's all of their debt. So they're taking the gross income, the mortgage payment, and all their monthly payments. If that's too high, then they have to pay down some of that debt.
Right, no pay it off, just pay it down.
Correct. And the loan officer should be able to tell you exactly what needs to be done. If not, call me. I'll tell you what needs to be done.
All right, what's the next one?
Question number three. If a buyer gives a seller a copy of their home inspection report, is the seller able to disclose the report to other later buyers if the original sale falls through?
Technically, that's not the seller's property. In the, I don't know how this seller got a hold of this copy of this. I don't give. If I'm representing a buyer, I don't give the seller a copy of my home inspection report. That's my buyer's property.
Yeah, but the problem is that the buyers don't really, the buyers always send me the home inspection report. They're like, I know as the lender, you're going to need this report. And I tell them all the time, I don't need it. I don't need it.
And
this is for you and it's not required.
Yeah, the buyer owns that report.
Right.
Just because the seller got it, they're not supposed to use that. And this is just bad. This is a bad agent. Yeah. Whoever gave that seller report is not doing their fiduciary duty. That all they should be selling to the seller is what they want done on any repairs or anything. That list, they don't give them the whole report. So then it's now the seller. And then if I'm a new buyer coming in and some seller's giving me some other buyer's report for like $300-$400, I think I might want my own inspector to look at this joint anyway.
Yeah.
But the seller should not have a copy of that report. That agent is not doing his job. Or her. It's probably a woman. I'm blaming it on a woman.
There you go again. All right, question number four. What do you think is the biggest thing the mayor and the city council could do to get Philly booming again?
Somebody asked me this question.
No way. I think this is your question.
No, I'm telling you, somebody asked me this question, and I got a very simple answer for this question. What they should do right now is cut business taxes, cut a few business taxes, make it easier to open a business in Philly, and the biggest thing to do is cut red tape. Hire somebody, put them on the mayor's staff, and make it their job to find red tape in every department and start cutting red tape and make us more. We're the fourth hardest city in the country to open
to
a business.
To get anything done.
We're the fourth hardest city in the country to open a business and deal with the city. So if you did those two things, you cut business taxes, and everybody will say, oh, you can't cut business taxes now. We need the money. They need the money no matter what. No matter how much money you give the government, they spend it.
It's never going to be enough.
Never going to be enough. Like, look at the school budget. We're up to like $37,000 a kid. So if you cut business taxes and you cut red tape, business booms. And what happens? You get more sales tax. And it all comes back to you another way. I remember I did a plan for George Paquetta one time. He was running for mayor when I was back in city council, on how to eliminate the wage tax in Philadelphia. And we had a plan to do it over 8 years. And everybody said, you can't, no way. All the council people were telling me, no, you can't do that. And some professor at UP, I forget his name, but he came out on my side. He said, you could do it if you did it over 8 years. And the first thing I was going to do was make it even so there was no discrepancy between the suburbs and the city. So that that got rid of the reason to leave the city because of the wage tax, right?
Right.
And then gradually lowered it over 8 years. And what happened? All the other taxes came up and you made it up in the back end. But so that's my suggestion. Mayor Kenny, cut red tape and cut business taxes.
Are you dropping the mic at that point? You're good?
I dropped the mic, man. I just dropped the mic.
All right. Coming up next will be our topic of the day. 8 reasons why realtors will be needed forever.
Ever. All right. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive, all the time. We'll be right back. Mayor Kenny.
Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland is proudly being provided by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more in a moment, but first, a message from one of our home team partners, Greentree Mortgage. How much do you qualify for? Ask Deanne now at mortgagemom.net.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive, all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our topic of the day, which is 8 reasons why realtors will be needed forever.
Yeah, and the reason I picked this topic was because there's all this stuff out there saying, you know, because of the internet and social media and this and that, you're not going to need realtors. Realtors are going to be, you know, it's all going to be, everything's going to be automatic and they're not going to need realtors. That's not true. In the end, people want to deal with people and they want help. So the first reason is a good agent will focus on educating versus selling to a client. It's no secret. You know, they're making money. They're working. They're making money. They're selling people houses, helping them buy houses. But, you know, they're going to give you all kinds of advice. For example, like if you're selling, they're going to take a walk through your house and they might come up with suggestions that maybe you should have this house professionally staged. Maybe you should unclutter this house because you don't notice that much clutter you got. They run through all the numbers, how much it costs to sell a house, how much it costs to buy a house. As you can see, there's a ton of questions that these professionals that do it every day can help you with. So, you know, you're hiring a realtor whose priority is their client's interests. And most of them, it's not about the money. They want to help you. They're going to make the money, but they got your interest at heart.
Mark, the ones that are not worried about the money are the ones that do a better job and make more money.
That's true, because it's not about the money. Gary Keller's famous book about the Millionaire Real Estate book on the cover says it's not about the money.
It's not about the money.
Number two, realtors know how to create an outstanding market. So they know how to advertise your property with staging, decorating, getting the right pictures taken, video production now. Even now, they're even getting into drones and everything else. And they're going to give you lots of suggestions on how to present your property and get top dollar and help you with this. Three, how do you know the market conditions? Unless, you know, it's interesting, like, We have this show, but if you, whoever's listening to us right now, our listeners, think about it. When's the last time you've seen a really detailed report about the real estate market on TV? It's like rare. And when I do see a report, it's really short. The rates are low. Put 20% down and you can buy a house. I mean, that's what you get. You don't get no detail. So how do you know what your house is worth? So you hire a realtor. They understand what the market, they got access to the multiple listing service. They have all the info and they'll know who to advertise, where to advertise, how long you're probably going to be on the market, what the asking price is versus the sales price, trends in your area, whether or not to pay sellers closing costs, what is sellers closing costs. There's tons of stuff that they're going to educate you on.
Right.
So that's one of them. Number four, effective social media coverage. Most of them now all do social media. Some of them do it too much. They forget what it's you know, it is social media, not reality media. And it's the same with politics, with media, but with social media. But they're going to get you exposed that you probably wouldn't be able to do it as good as them. Here's a really important one. Number five, agents know how to negotiate. They do it all the time. Every deal, they're in a negotiation. If they're in this business for years, they've done thousands of negotiations. The average person does two or three negotiations in their whole life.
Right.
When they buy a house, when they buy a car, maybe at Home Depot, they try to, you know, get the washer for half the price, you know, and that's the extent of their negotiating. And then they don't negotiate again until they buy another house. Agents are doing it every day. That's the one thing I always thought I was good at, not to brag, but I'm good at negotiating and figure out how to split that baby and make the deal happen. You
exactly.
need some other person as that buffer in the middle. That's why for sale by owners has so much trouble, because they have to deal face to face, you know, the seller and the buyer face to face. When you have an agent in the middle, you got that buffer. Oh, yeah, well, you told them that and you told them that, you know, they don't want to do that face to face. But that agent in the middle can really solve a lot of problems. Number six, they know how to handle the heated conversations. You know, they can bring everybody, like that joke we told today about the guy lighting the contract on fire. You know, the agent said, you know, is that a no? And that broke everything, broke the ice, and they got the deal done. They can help, you know,
and
alleviate
know when,
those kind of problems.
When the agent, you know, when the listing agent says, well, we have multiple offers coming in and you better get your offer in, and the house has been on the market for 115 days, all of a sudden we're going to put an offer in and there's multiple offers on the same exact day.
That's
the
right.
agents know how to handle that.
And they also know they're going to get better prices than you looking at all the online sites, Zillow and all those. And the last thing, if it's a good agent, they're going to stay in touch with you and they'll be your agent for life. The majority of, in actuality, they don't do it. But if they would just stay in touch with you, they'll be the agent for life. That's why you need to. That's why they're going to be around.
That's right.
Forever.
That was good topic, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So coming up next is our segment with Dr. Abelson, and the topic is going to be why team works.
How are you, doctor?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Very good. So tell us why teams work.
Well, I have a list of six different things that happen because you have a good team. Okay. So that's
right.
This is why they work. Number one. They improve efficiency, productivity, and satisfaction. And the reason for that is people do what they're really good at.
That's
if
a good
you don't
point.
Have a team, you have to do everything yourself.
That's
and
right.
nobody is good at everything.
No.
Right? The second thing is it fosters people to perform and succeed. Okay, in other words, they feel good about what they're doing because that's something that they value. And they feel good about it. For example, you're a real estate team and you hate the details. You do the details, but it doesn't make you feel successful when you're spending time on the detail work. You can't stand it.
That's right.
Right? So what happens is when you have a team, you have somebody who cherishes the details and they really like to do that.
I got a few of them and I love them.
That's right, because the three of us don't like to do that stuff.
Right. But
number three. It decreases stress and burnout. If you're doing what you like to do, you feel less stressed. All right? Now, we were picking on the D's, basically, who don't like to do detail. But if you have somebody who likes to do detail, they don't like to do sales.
That's right.
So
That's
if right. they have to get on the telephone, you're going to stress them out.
That's right.
So, but let them do the detail stuff and let the person who's the intense eye do the call stuff. They each like it. And if you love what you're doing about it and it really makes you feel good and you're less stressed and it takes more for you to get burned out.
That's right.
Number four, you have the opportunity of improving your skills. Why? Because you take more time working on something and you figure out new systems to do it even better. Right? So it allows people to specialize and get better at the specialization. So if they are somebody who's really good with listing and they only focus on listing, what's going to happen is they're going to keep on getting better and better as they learn and improve themselves. But if they have to do listing and they have to do sales and they have to do the detail work and they have to do additional marketing and they have to do the planning for the future, et cetera, you don't have the time to be better, to learn how to be better at anything. You're just trying to keep your head above water.
That's right, because you're not in the 20%. You're in the 80%.
That's right. All right, number five, it fosters different ideas, creativity, and innovation. Why? Because you have people who see things differently. They look at the world through a different set of eyes or a different lens, okay? So different ideas are going to come out, and now it's up, and we're going to talk about this at another session, but, you know, it's up to the leader to effectively use that. But it fosters this different idea, creativity, and innovation, and the sixth thing is, it allows for time off when it's needed. If right. it's just you, you can't take time off.
No, business is closed if it's only you.
That's right. So if you have a team, what happens is you can have somebody else do what you do. They might not do it as well, but it's still getting done. In some right. cases, they might actually do it better, but that's okay because maybe they're doing something else most of the time, but when you're on vacation and you're not there, then they can do what you're doing. So it allows for the flexibility to not be there.
I got a teacher's meeting Friday with all my teachers, and I do this all the time, and I'm glad that you brought this topic up because this will be fresh in my head, and I won't go in there as Mr. D and run the meeting. I'll go in, I'll say a couple things, and I'll say, what do you guys think? And I guarantee you, I'm going to get a lot of great ideas. And I'm going to get some 80% taken off my plate.
That's right. And it's a great way to delegate, because when you have a team, you can delegate to other people. In fact, on our Ableson Learning Resource Network, you know, website, where we have all these different videos that we talk about delegation. And when I do that, I don't talk about putting things in the A list, the B list, and the C list. That's not the issue. The issue is, what is it that you should be doing, because that's what your job is, and you should have somebody else doing everything else.
That's right. All right, that was
a
great topic,
Doctor.
You
can do that.
That was a great topic.
It was a great topic.
So tell everybody how to get a hold of you. This is going to stick in my head till my teacher's meeting Friday. And I have one teacher, in fact, that due to this, didn't want to teach anymore, wanted to do something else. So tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
It's real easy. It's Ableson, A-B-E-L-S-O-N, at A-B-E-L-S-O-N.net, or just go to our website at www.ableson.net.
All right,
thank you, Dr. Ray.
Thanks, Dr. Ray.
All right, if you have any questions, you can email them to Mark at 8029@comcast.net or give him a call at 267-266-5501. You can email me at DeanneKitsaris@comcast.net or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
And a special thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in every week and our sponsors. And we're actually looking for two more sponsors to join us on the air, One Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and we have a great package that we could offer to you, and you can listen to us every Sunday 9 a.m. on Talk Radio. So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Kitsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive, all the time.
Thanks for listening to Good News in Real Estate, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
When we make a profit, you see it. Better rates, fewer fees, and we give back to the community. All the things that you want from a financial institution. Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours.